Hello, and welcome to Primary Viewpoints from Patient Care Online, a monthly podcast that features informative conversations with healthcare experts, opinion leaders, and practicing physicians about what impacts primary care medicine today. I'm your host, Sydney Jennings, editor at Patient Care Online. In this episode, Dr. Andres Acosta discusses an approach to weight management that he and his colleagues at the Mayo Clinic are exploring that uses obesity phenotyping to help better match patients with weight loss interventions that will be successful for them.
So you make a distinction between the current classification for obesity that addresses cardiometabolic risk and classifications that you feel are sorely needed, which would be based on pathogenesis. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for more than 100 years, we've been classifying obesity based on the severity of obesity. And that's basically how heavy we are. And then we divide by our height. We use the body mass index or BMI. And it tells us the classes of obesity from overweight, obesity class 1 to 1-3. And we know that patients with obesity class 3, which is a BMI greater than 40, they tend to have the highest risk of cardiovascular disease and dying from heart disease and from obesity. These classifications are great. Newer classifications are telling us who has a higher risk of developing diabetes, as we know that developing type 2 diabetes is also connected with heart disease and dying from obesity. But unfortunately, these classifications that are telling about more severity of obesity, how severe is your obesity, do not help us select what's the right intervention for my patient. So a good example that I have is, for example, a patient was a BMI maybe of 34, 35, about somewhere in average 240 pounds, who come and tell us, I want to lose weight. If I just follow the current classifications and guidelines, there's many things I cannot offer to this patient. And many insurance companies will not even consider paying for interventions for this patient if the patient doesn't have diabetes or a complication related to it. Mm. That's outdated. That is against really understanding the biology and the pathophysiology of obesity. So that's the reason why we have suggested a novel classification that is purely based on the pathophysiological and behavioral characteristics of obesity that we as a field have been studying for more than 40 years, and we understand them quite well. We have just failed to translate them into practice. And that's one of the things that we have done at the Mayo Clinic.
I think that leads right into an identification or characterization of the four obesity phenotypes that you're currently working with.
Yeah. So we identify that by studying all these characteristics in the energy balance components of obesity, we identify first what was different from people who have normal weight, which was, I think, an important advancement on the field. And we published that in 2015. And last year, we actually showed the data how we can classify individuals within obesity. So there are four types of you, as you mentioned, or phenotypes, as we call them. The first one is, the scientific name is abnormal satiation, lack of sensation of fullness. Because the problem for these individuals lies predominantly on the brain, I call them the hungry brain phenotype. Patients just don't feel full. The second subtype is abnormal postprandial satiety. Patients will consume a normal meal, normal size meal, but then within an hour or two, they start feeling hungry again. Their gut signals that needs to release hormones to go to our brain and tell our brain to continue to feel full so we can digest the meal are abnormal. So these hormones called postprandial satiety hormones are not working well and are coming from the gut. That's why I call this the hungry gut phenotype, to separate both. Now, some people say, but these hormones work in the brain. I agree, they work in the brain, but the problem most likely is coming from the gut. So we need to try to separate it. And the reason why I came up with these names, just as a little bit of a side note, is because the terms satiation and satiety gets constantly confused in the literature, in the medical literature. Mm. So we might need to talk away from them. And that's why I'm trying to talk about hungry brain and hungry gut. Okay. The third subtype of obesity is emotional hunger. Most of the people think that obesity is a behavioral disease, that we are eating for our emotions. Well, indeed, this group does have this problem. We're eating for positive or negative emotions. We're looking for food to cope with good things and with bad things. I'm going to go and celebrate with my friends and my family. I'm going to eat something. I'm going to I'm feeling bad and sad, I'm going to go and eat something, right? Food is our way of coping with life. And the last group is what patients, most of the patients come to my clinic to see me when they say, doc, I have a problem with my metabolism. That's why I gain weight. Indeed, these patients have an abnormal metabolism. I like to call them a slow burn. They're not burning enough calories and their metabolism is inefficient. So for that reason, they have obesity. So four different phenotypes, four different characteristics that have been very well studied throughout the years. And now we're identifying who has that abnormality, and we have paired the treatment towards those abnormalities.